Bad Mormons.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Mandy.
Hey, cheers.
Hey, cheers.
Oh, so many cheersings. I hit my tequila shot at the glass, because that's what we decided to do before we started recording.
We weren't feeling energetic enough for you guys, so we needed to make ourselves a little bit more fun, but not too fun.
That's fair. I'm still slightly, you know, recovering from a hangover from Sunday. No, Sunday.
What are we drinking?
Yeah, I have no idea. You got a advent calendar that gives us little mini bottles of wine. And by mini bottles, they're like half bottles of wine. They like wine for children.
Kid size. This actually looks, you guys can't see it, but the patrons can see it. It actually looks like it's made for kids with its little flowers and, you know, multicolored. Or preschool-esque. It looks like it belongs in a preschool. Well, it's the size, shape, and coloring of a preschool wine. You should.
Some pictures of the wine bottles with her. Okay, we're going to do a photo shoot later. If you're lucky, you'll get to see it.
Yeah, so we got the wine advent calendar, and it's been fairly disappointing so far.
Well, we're just not white wine drinkers. Like, in the daytime, sure. If it's hot summer night, I could probably think about it, but once that sun goes down, it's red wine all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we decided that we would take a tequila shot and then drink a bunch of white wine.
Right, because we're really smart, and lessons were never learned, ever.
Also, you guys, we really fucked up this week. We fucked up bad.
Listen, it could be worse.
It could be worse. But we...
It could have been a whole lot better.
We recorded this week's episode after drinking martinis and a bottle of wine and then a couple of mini kid-sized bottles of wine from our advent calendar. And we were like, we've never not released an episode on time. We always release on Mondays at 1 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We can't, you know, break the streak or whatever. And so we, you know, in the vein of our entire model of life, which is making questionable life choices, we fucking recorded a podcast.
And we released it. We record podcasts all the time that are horrible that never get aired. This time we actually released it.
Because we didn't have anything else.
Because we had an hour left and we were already shithoused. And what do you do when you're shithoused? Hey, it should be fine. Oh, it doesn't sound that bad. And then when you wake up the next day and you're hungover and you kind of wish you were dead, you're like, maybe not our best choice.
Maybe not. And then I unpublished it, and then I was like, just fucking leave it alone. And then I was like, no, we're redeeming ourselves. So much like the episode, which we titled Blackout 182, as we will come to tell you why, we're going to call this Blackout 182, the redemption episode.
I like it.
I'm just going to slightly shift it. So we're going to sneak this audio in and replace the audio that we had in there before. And this time we're going to learn our goddamn lesson.
Listen, 2 drink maximum before we start recording. Yeah.
Any more than that, hey, it's just, game
it's
over.
It's a bad choice. It may be martinis.
Actually, we shouldn't say we should never record, but we'll only record for the patrons.
Fair.
Because you guys like to see us shithoused.
This is what you pay for.
And you might have been shithoused with us.
Like, and you probably get shithoused with us in the future. You don't know.
All right, so Blackout 182, the redemption episode, starts now.
All right, so should we talk about what we're listening to?
Yes. Actually, I want to just put a little love out into the universe for a couple of podcasts that have been super cool and giving us a shout out on their shows. I want to give them shout out on our show. There's Prosecco Theory, which is a couple of very funny ladies. There's another funny one called American Mayhem, which is kind of a...
Is he the stream of consciousness?
No. That's a different one. That's Glenn Think Stuff.
I really liked that.
Yeah, he's really great too.
The Mayhem one was the one that, like, the alien...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good too. Yeah. I liked that
so
well.
American Mayhem, Glenn Think Stuff, and Prosecco Theory are 3 podcasts that we've met through the Twitter.
Nice.
And have been very cool to us, and they actually have really great podcasts too. So check them out.
That's true. And I believe the gentleman, I can't remember his name.
From Glenn Think Stuff?
Oh. No, not Glenn.
I was going to say.
What is it called? Something about Barry Manilow, and I was like, yeah, Barry Manilow. I love Barry Manilow, but you know what I listened to instead? Tom Jones. Tom Jones is the shit. Anyways, that being said.
I have no idea about what you're talking about, but that's okay.
Because somebody didn't listen to the episode. I did.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. I thought you guys were talking.
No. I just listened to his episode, and he was saying something about Barry Manilow. And he's like, I think those girls would like Barry Manilow. And I was like, I do like Barry Manilow.
I mean,
Tom Jones is better.
Well, but does Tom Jones have a song named Mandy?
No. Oh, I'm not getting this connection. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Stupid. Actually, I didn't get it either. I was saying it out loud. You came and you gave without taking, girl.
Sure did.
Let's talk about Perry Mason.
God, Perry Mason's so good.
We finally just finished Perry Mason.
Right. I'm so glad because it was one of those shows, like, there's a few shows growing up, and I love TV, movies, and music. I watched a lot of Gilligan's Island. I watched a lot of Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie and Andy Griffith Show. But every time that Perry Mason, Matlock, or MASH would come on, that was a hard pass for me.
I was not down with Columbo either.
You know, I didn't even try to watch Columbo. Craig's been making me watch it. I freaking love it now. So yeah. I'm like, oh, whoa, way to go, Columbo. Which apparently this Perry Mason on HBO is somewhat mimicked after Columbo. So like it's a combination and I'm all about it.
Okay.
It's good. And it's dark. Yeah, I mean, I think if super it wasn't fucking dark, it wouldn't have caught my attention in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, and we're totally late to the game, as we usually are, but because the My Favorite Murderer ladies were talking about this, I remember because we brought it up on, I don't know, 6 episodes ago or something like that, and Mimi on Instagram, she was like, oh yeah, new Perry Mason. So I don't know why it took us so long to get on board, but it's really fucking good, you guys. Really fucking good. If you like dark, horrible shit like we do.
I just like it to not be so, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. PG?
Yes. PG? Did we watch the same show?
No, I said I don't like my things to be PG, which is why I like it. I'm not going to put on the same level as the movie 7, but kind of.
Yeah.
Right? So if you like that kind of fucked up shit, then you'll like this. And again, it's not quite as fucked up as that movie was, but it was definitely dark.
Definitely dark. We also both, well, we watched The Mandalorian religiously.
Right. That's a given.
It's so fucking good, and I can't believe we haven't talked about it. But we don't want to put any spoilers into the universe, and it's real hard. Yeah. So if you haven't watched The Mandalorian, catch the fuck up, because especially this last episode, oh my God.
So good.
It's like every nerd's dream come true. Shit I didn't even know I was missing.
Right? And for those who love Star Wars, then fell out of love with Star Wars because of all of the new Star Wars and all of the shitty Star Wars and all of that, give this a try.
Fall back in love.
You can fall right back in love with it because Jon Favreau, he did his damnedest to not fuck this up.
Yeah, he did good.
He did good.
He done did good. And then the last one is we both watched The Vow.
Right.
Separately,
but together.
Holy shit.
Fucked up shit.
In fact, the first time we recorded that we didn't release.
Oh, that's right.
We recorded one, and then we're like, nope, scratch that. And then we recorded the one that we thought was okay.
Right. Well, I think we had decided we just dedicated an entire episode to The Vow. Yeah. Which, now that I'm more sober, is a little unnecessary. I mean, I like it because it's a cult.
I was going to say, yeah, like, we could talk.
Mormonism's a cult, so I really like the comparison. And yeah. Like, oh, you don't just think, hey, I want to join a cult. Like, you think you're doing something that's amazing. And in this case, it's a self-help kind of how to be the best version of yourself. But then before you know it, you're in a goddamn cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really good. We should do an episode just on kind of like weird cult shit in general.
Right.
Not this one, but.
Well, I mean, it could be a combination of this one and some other cult shit.
Yeah. Oh, no, I meant not this episode.
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah. No, clearly. We gotta talk about Blink 182.
Blackout 182.
So I guess we'll just roll into repenting, which we will 100% repent for the episode that is being replaced.
I feel like half of our repenting is us being too drunk and fucking something up. Maybe we should change it from repenting to, like, hey, what questionable life choices did you make?
What did alcoholism ruin for me this week?
How did you fuck this up, Charlotte?
Well, California got shut down, right? So I needed to go out to dinner on Sunday and just enjoy a restaurant for the last time until we're, you know, able to go do that again. And I thought martinis and then a glass or a bottle of wine would be a great idea, which is what happened.
Well, so let's actually give a quick shout out. We went to Trevor's at the Tracks, which is always great. It's so awesome. We don't go there enough because, you know, COVID. Somebody works there.
Oh, right. There's that, too. But, screw that. I'll go without them. I don't care.
But, yeah, the food is always delicious. The ambiance is, like, top-notch. The service is incredible.
They've got vegan options.
Yeah.
They've got good meat options.
It's really, like, probably the best restaurant in San Juan Capistrano.
I go ahead and agree with that.
Yeah. So, that was fun. And we got some fun videos, and we ate some really delicious food.
We got four entrees for three people.
Was it four or five?
Does the chili count? Does that count as an entree? We got a lot of things. But I want... Oh, and then an appetizer, the Bavarian pretzels.
And dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Why do I look like this? Jabba no bada.
Doesn't look like I need dessert. Yes, I do. Give me it.
That was fun. That was super fun.
That was fun. So, totally worth us blacking out. We were, like, browned out. Which is when you kind of remember things from the night and you don't remember some other things from the night.
Yeah, we're adults.
Right. Well, anyways, I'm sorry. I repent.
I'm also going to repent for, I really should have paid more attention to giving this the spotlight on our show, but a couple weeks back, I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago already, but back when, during the election, what was that, November 3rd, during the election night count, I believe it was in Arizona. So there was, you guys remember, there was a bunch of states that were like, stop the count, a bunch of states that were like, keep counting, or don't stop the...
Stop the count, count the votes.
Count the votes, right. Yeah. So depending, and then they were getting confused on which state they were in.
You wanted to count.
Yeah, and it was really funny, and the rest of us were just fucking laughing our asses off. But so at one point, I'm pretty sure this was in Arizona, so you've got these people, and they've got their big Trump flags, giant Trump flags, a bunch of them, chanting, stop the count, or, yeah, I think that one was stop the count.
Right, yeah.
And then, for some reason, I didn't realize this until later, they all started singing the YMCA song, like the YMCA, and doing the letters, you know, and everything.
Right.
And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, that is the gayest anthem of America. Like, that embodies the homosexual community and is their theme song.
The Republican Party of Repression.
Well, I mean, yes, we could really make an argument for that. But
I just saw on I Fucking Love Science website, you know, there is an actual link between a low IQ and homophobia.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I didn't get a chance to fully read the article, so I'm going to go. I shared it so I could go back and read it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me, because if you're going to be homophobic, it just means you don't understand something. Anytime you have a phobia of something, it means you don't understand it.
Right.
So you can't understand why two chicks or two dudes want to make out. Like,
right.
One, it's none of your fucking business, and two,
like... Well, everybody knows there's some curiosity or some... not always, but almost always, some little spark of desire or curiosity in those people, because those are always the people that are getting busted.
Oh, the ones who are trying to, like, actively take away other people's rights.
Exactly. Yeah. Like there was that guy in, I forget which country, I should have looked it up, but I'm not prepared. It was like some...
It was like, not Greece, but it was something like that.
Like Eastern European, something over there. And this guy actually fought and put in legislation that was... I want to say it was like you would be killed if you were homosexual. It was, if it wasn't killed, it was something really hardcore, imprisonment or something like that. And he just got busted at a 25-man orgy, and he climbed out the window butt naked and was like scaling the side of a building and got caught. But he's like some really high-ranking official, and it's just like, well, typical.
Right.
First of all, I'm glad it's not just the U.S., because those are the only ones I ever hear about.
Right, that's very true.
But there's a lot of them. Anyways, yes. Back to my repentance. I'm sorry that I didn't give enough attention to the Trump supporters doing the gay anthem without a hint of irony and not realizing what they were doing at all.
Isn't it ironic?
It was so glorious. Yeah, we should have definitely given that a little more spotlight.
Right. I think we may have already said it before, but also just the fact that people who are upset that they lost you know, by a lot of millions of votes, have said that they're going to move to Mexico without a shred of irony. Also, that they wanted to build a wall to keep Mexicans out, but yet it's okay for them to just go invade Mexico.
Right.
Hilarious.
Yeah, they don't make any sense.
All right, story time. Should we listen to a commercial, perhaps, or...
Yeah, else? Let's do it. Oh, I was going to say, I made a Trump meme.
Oh, right.
That I'm very proud of.
It was very good. You made it while we were sitting down at dinner?
No, that was my Rudy Giuliani meme. But I did make
God
a Trump
rest
meme.
His soul.
What time is it? yeah, so if you haven't checked out our social media as of late, go on there, check out my meme. It's my first meme that I've created, the image and everything all from scratch. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
The homemade pasta. That's hilarity.
It's exactly what I was thinking when I made it. All right, yes, let's hear a word from our sponsors. And then we'll come back and tell you the story of Blackout 182 and the redemption show that followed. Much like this podcast.
Well, hello again. I know it's been a while, but don't you worry. Your friends here at Temple Twat have been hard at work, coming up with new products intended to help maintain that holy, holy yours. Today, we're so excited to introduce you to a new evolution in freshness, Temple Twat Poon Powder. Poon Powder is an innovative way to maintain that just showered freshness all day. Just a small handful of Poon Powder can keep that notorious BAG dry and smelling glamorous all day. We're not sure why Heavenly Father chose to make the bearded clam often emit the odor of a rotten tuna taco, but we're here to fix it with three lovely scents. Try Gardenia Gash, Magnolia Muff, or Lilac Lady Garden. And yes, we all know that talcum powder is rubbed on your genitals is a cause of ovarian cancer, but don't you worry. Thanks to tithing, the Mormon Church has enough money to hire the best attorneys to defend itself from lawsuits or pay you in the event that you win.
You won't!
So sprinkle some poo powder on that pink wrinkle and seize the day. Temple Twat, committed to keeping your hole holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 20% off your first purchase of poon powder. Just use the promo code SISTERWIVES at checkout. That's promo code SISTERWIVES for 20% off your first purchase of poon powder.
I forgot you were with us.
Once again, hello to our patrons who are experiencing this journey via video, not just audio.
Correct. You get to see what we look like as I slouch in my chairs going, are we finished yet?
Whatever, you love doing this.
I'm just kidding, I love doing it. Do I get to talk about stories about me and you? Then yeah, I love it.
Let's tell the listeners who are hopefully feeling fresh and clean right now.
Never felt so refreshed.
Let's tell them about the time that we saw Blink 182 at the Irvine Meadows right before they bulldozed it to the ground.
Right? Second to last show that concert ever did, mm-hmm. I guess. Stupid No Doubt got the last spot.
But I like No Doubt.
Do you?
Well, I don't not like them.
I don't change it if it comes on the radio right away.
That's Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they think they were like Costa Mesa. Like, they're legit Orange County. Mm. Whereas Blink 182 is San Diego.
Encinitas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyways, you tell the story because you're the one who got the tickets.
Okay. So I'm living in Hawaii at the time and notoriously, well, I shouldn't say we never get any bands out there because occasionally we got some pretty rad bands out there.
No.
Backstreet Boys.
I'm so fucking sorry.
Oh my God. Hey, one of our patrons out there who's watching this.
Hey, Tiffany.
We couldn't have planned that any better.
I don't like these cups.
That's what you get for confusing NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So we do get some good shows out there, but we don't get a lot. Like, we get maybe 1% of the available shows that are out there. So Blink 182 had recently reformed, put out an album, and they reformed, obviously, with my dream celebrity boyfriend, Matt Skiba.
Correct.
I almost forgot the other guy's name. Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge with
Let me start over. So I loved Blink-182 from the beginning. Like, that was my jam. That was my anthem of growth. I was right at the perfect age for that to be like my favorite band. So don't get me wrong, I love Tom DeLonge, but I really love Matt Skiba and the collaboration and the kind of the way he changed the sound of the band a little bit was like totally my jam. So anybody who knows me obviously knows that. So I was really...
Cause, like, can you see the Alkaline Trio, like, posters?
There's Blink-182 right there, too. Okay. And right there.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I got a good mix. But anyway, so I was really stoked that that they were going to be playing some shows, obviously not in Hawaii. So I bought tickets to the show at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater and flew over to see the show. And I was really stoked. And then also, you know, of course, I'm stoked to see Charlotte and Craig, who are going to the show. And then we have this Alkaline Trio Facebook group. Oh, okay.
I'm old.
So we have this Alkaline Trio Facebook group where I met, we met this girl, Kelly.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Who then we became friends with after going to a few shows. And then our friends, Allison and Alyssa. So we all came together and we're like, hey, let's go see this Blink-182 show. And so we meet up at the venue and I'm feeling a little sick. Like I'm kind of run down and I have a sore throat. I remember having a sore throat. And I know at least Allison was also sick. I can't remember if anybody else was. But so we decided it would be a good idea to get a bottle of whiskey to just, you know, do a little whiskey for the sore throat, you know. And so we go like we usually do, you know, we'll do a little tailgate at the beginning of the
which
pre-gaming.
Which is not unusual.
Yeah, not unusual. But I mean, if I can just give a little shout out to Craig, that man really knows how to do it, right?
Yeah, so, like, I'm used to, like, car partying with you guys, and, like, which is always good, and it was more than I'd ever expect from anything else. Like, I'd never experienced that before. And then once I started hanging out with Craig, I mean, the man will bring a lamp with him.
A lamp, like,
a rug.
Chairs.
Yeah, so we had folding chairs, a rug out.
And we've got this very nice bottle. I really love the Woodford Reserve, and this was, like, the extra fancy double-oaked whatever one, so it was, like, not a cheap bottle. But we're sitting around outside. We've got Clarice, Charlotte's doll, who is... Clarice is, like, what, 4 feet tall?
I'd say she's about 4 feet. If I'm 5'5", she's, yeah, about 3 feet tall.
She's too big to be a toddler, but she's too small to be, like, a regular human, and she's very off-putting.
She has no fingers.
They've been broken off. One eye is lazy.
No, her eyes are fine. They just stare at you, though.
Anyway.
She's got a jacked-up haircut.
There's always the Rod Stewart album.
Always. Yeah, the cardboard where the record would go in.
Yeah, the sleeve.
We bring that to every concert.
So... picture this, listeners. You're walking into see Blink-182 at the Irvine Meadows, and you see these six people.
Just trashed.
A doll.
Well, my favorite part is that there's only three chairs, because we didn't think to bring any for our friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because Craig is a smart man, but he's not considerate. So a lot of us are just sitting on the floor, and... I don't know if we were all sitting on the floor just because we didn't want our friends to be sitting on the floor. So there's two empty chairs. Clarice is in one holding the bottle of whiskey. The rest of us are just on the ground.
The Rod Stewart album.
Taking up one of the other chairs.
And we got a lot of comments of people walking by like, why would they do that?
Everybody was very put off by it.
Yeah.
Which makes me so happy.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Which again, just... brings so much joy to me.
So we're drinking whiskey in the parking lot. We're drinking too much whiskey. It's like one of those things where it's like the whiskey feels good on a sore throat, and then you should know better when it starts to, like, not burn.
Right.
That you should stop drinking it. You're like, it's like
but
water.
No, I feel great.
Yeah. I'm thirsty. Let's have another sip of whiskey. No. Wrong.
That's
bad.
Like water.
Idea.
But water just stops tasting good after a while.
I know. Nothing will quench your insatiable thirst but more Woodford Reserve whiskey. So the time comes for us to go into the venue and, oh, I forgot to mention, so the tickets that we had bought, I tried to get the, I always try to get the best tickets I can afford. And at that time, and I feel like I was right on top of it, getting tickets right when they released because the show sold out. And then it was, I think the day before the show, I hadn't even gotten on the plane yet. And Craig messaged me and he was like, "Hey, I found these pit tickets. They just released. Should I get them?" And I was like, I didn't know what the pit ticket was. I'd never been to Irvine Meadows before, but I knew it was better than the tickets I had. So I was like, yeah, buy them. I didn't know how much they were or anything like that. I think they were a lot.
Right.
But so now we've been upgraded to these pit tickets. And so once we get into the venue, we kind of split ways because it was the three of us, you, Craig, and I went right to the pit, and then everybody else went to their seats in the stadium. And so we got diverted onto this path where we got like a special bracelet and they had a black light thing, and it was a lot of steps of security to get in right here. But when we got in there, you realized why, because you were standing right next to the stage.
Actually, yeah.
It was the fucking coolest shit in the whole world. And it was like, I mean, Blink-182 did not fail to impress with their stage like they always do. Like, they had the big flame letters that spelled out fuck in the background.
Good.
They've got blow-up dolls out in the crowd instead of beach balls. You know, they've got pyrotechnics, Travis Barker is
just an amazing drummer.
Probably the most amazing drummer out there. And so just being able to stand there right next to him and like watch him perform his magic with a broken foot, I might add, at that show.
Right.
It was fucking incredible. And they did some really funny shit. But the worst part about it was I fucking blacked out for the first half of the show. I'm so glad I got video, and I'm so glad I took a million pictures.
I took a lot of video. I think you took a lot of video. I wasn't that drunk. I think I had come from work, so you guys had started drinking earlier than I did. I think I had Uber in or something like that. And, like, so, I mean, I was drunk, but I'm not drunk.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I thought it was strange that you were allowing me to stand in front of you, because it got me that much closer to Matt Skiba. But, like, you were just sat there with, like, or you didn't sit there, you're standing there with just the shit-eating grin on your face. I was just so happy.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine any place I would rather be. I mean, other than if it was an Al Galen Trio show,
of
course.
I was
going to
say, because I believe we've stood in the same spot in front of Matt Skiba at an Al Galen Trio show.
Yeah, a million times. But this was so much bigger of a production.
Right.
And that's what made it extra cool. But yeah, I'm really thankful that I didn't lose the whole show.
I'm also glad we didn't have to get carried out.
Oh my God.
That would be
Could you imagine? But it's just like, yeah, being in that like coveted spot for that fucking awesome of a show. Man,
it was terrible. It was probably one of the best shows I've been to, and I've been to a lot of shows.
Yeah, it was so great. So fucking great.
My other favorite, and I'm just going to bring it up because we have video of it, is they played like a 30-second song, Completely in the Dark.
Mm. And like... Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat.
Yep.
I fucked your mom. That was great.
That was the one. so I was lucky I was recording. yeah, that was really good. And then we watched the show, the confetti comes down on us, we left, met up with our friends, and then it was just...
Well, then we drank some more in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put this out there for the world. Allison passed out in the back of the car for most of that.
She did write a comment on one of the social media posts. I was like, I wish I knew what had happened while I was sleeping. We don't know either. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we bought merch, and then we... just hung out in the parking lot. Because, I mean, you don't want to try to get out of the parking lot at the end because you'll just sit there anyway.
Yeah,
so.
You're going to sit there for an hour. You might as well keep partying.
Yeah.
And Craig doesn't really drink. So we didn't have to worry about, like, drinking and driving or having to get an Uber because Craig's pretty responsible like that.
Yeah. But so needless to say, I'm glad I remembered part of the show. It was amazing. Those pit tickets were amazing. And then... they decided they were going to come back around and do it again because the first one had sold out so fast. And so we got tickets to that one. We couldn't get the pit tickets.
Uh-huh.
But we started
mid-range.
Yeah. Yeah. The seats weren't bad for sure. So we wanted to go again and call that since we started referring to that as the Blackout 182 show,
right.
We wanted to do the
Redemption show.
The Blink 182 Redemption show, which, even though we didn't have the fucking same seats, Craig and I went to the box office earlier. I think we went around 10 or 11 in the morning to try to see if any were going to pop up. I guess that's the magic. I don't really know it like Craig does, but sometimes they'll just release throughout the day. Like if people can't go or whatever, they'll release their tickets. And so he had made friends with the guys at the box office and just, hey, we're trying to get pit tickets. If anything comes up, you know, we want to buy them. And so we're like sitting on the grass in front of the box office under this shady tree. It's like nice. And I don't know about what time, maybe like 3 or so in the afternoon, this whole caravan of people rolls up on golf carts and stuff. And they're like, are you guys here for the event? And we're like, oh, no, we're just trying to get tickets. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, and then they're setting up. And it turns out it's this whole meet and greet thing that they have going on. So it was like, I don't know, 30 people had, you know, were able to get this meet and greet package. And they were getting little, you know, special wristbands and a little swag bag and, like, you know, all this cool shit. Me and Greg are just sitting on the grass like, probably like a little forlorn lost puppy, just watching them like, oh, I wish I could have that stuff. And but it was so cool at the very end. As everybody's going in, the last people are going in, one of the girls who is setting it up. Oh, sure. Thanks. She was like, do you guys want to come in and come in for the sound check party? And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, do you want to come in or not? And I was like, yes, we want to come in. So she brought us in. And, you know, we had to just, like, show our regular tickets that we had to get in. And you were at work. So we didn't expect. We thought we would be leaving, going home, and then coming back later. But
yeah, that didn't happen.
But they let us in for the sound check. So we're like, sorry.
And so we had to get another Uber out there.
Yeah. So, but we got to go in and watch them do the sound check party is basically just watching them do the sound check.
Right.
With 30 or so other people, and it's a little bit awkward because you don't have the vibe, the energy of the show. And
you're
just
staring at them tuning their instruments.
Exactly. And you're not really sure if you're supposed to interact with them, but I did get to say hi to Matt and, you know, got a little hi back from him, so
like,
that was cool.
You're back. I see.
He's like, oh, you again? Are you sober this time?
Never.
God, you're annoying. No.
You guys are best friends.
We are best friends. Even though he
doesn't know it, that's fine.
He doesn't know it. I know it, and that's all that matters. Boy, I just keep embarrassing myself, don't I?
I was going to say, you know what I think is funny is when people don't get it. Like, be like, oh, no, we're best friends. It's like, clearly I'm being facetious. Like, yeah, I'm not going to get into it, but, like, I think I said that joke. It was like, nobody important, but it was just like all, oh, well, we're best friends now. And they just looked at me like I was an insane person. And I'm like, okay, never mind. Clearly I'm not as funny as I think I am.
I think you're funny.
Thank you. I think you're funny, too.
I listen to your podcast and I laugh.
I do have to say one of my very good friends, Dee, listened to our podcast while she was driving back from San Francisco. Or Sacramento. She lives in Portland. And she's like, this bitch, I've known her forever, and she cannot pay me a compliment to save her life. Like, I love her, but that's just kind of how she is. And she said she thought our podcast was very funny. I was like, oh my God.
Yay.
Thank you.
Fabulous. But yeah, so that's the story of Blackout 182 and then the Redemption Show.
Right? Yeah, and then the show itself was just
awesome.
Awesome. I got to take a picture with one of the blow-up dolls, so I'll have to track that down.
Yeah.
And Craig made a little mini movie of you guys waiting on the lawn, so we can find that too.
Yeah. And then I think it was maybe a year later, then they'd started doing their residency in Vegas.
Oh God, that's right.
And my dear friend Katie was getting married, and so, you know, she did her wedding, small gathering, you know, in a very super fancy room. You know, it was really awesome. And then the wedding was over and everybody was getting ready to go out to the bars and stuff, and I was like, hey, does anybody want to go see Blink 182 with me? And I was like,
and everyone's like, no, I just got married.
Yeah, we're going out for drinks. And I was like, okay, we're going to go see Blink 182. We'll meet up with you after the show. And we got in an Uber, and I think we missed the first half hour.
Song. Or yeah, it was like, we didn't miss that much. But yeah, we had like balcony tickets, which were great.
Yeah, we ran in at the last minute. We were next to some Australian dudes.
Right.
And I was like, immediately, like once we kind of got the, you know, oh, we're hanging out, this is our space together vibe. I was like, so, you know, who do you like better, Matt Skiba or Tom DeLonge? And they're like, Matt Skiba. And I was like, best friends.
It's true.
Plus, all you have to do is have an Australian accent, and I think you're the fucking coolest person.
It's true. Maybe
this is
Australian.
I sure do. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Cover all bases?
I think we covered it.
Good for us.
And we made a point and we got to it. We thought a thing and we said it.
We didn't have to sit there and research shit half the time. We also didn't go off on our big John Ossoff. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think has some merit, but it has a time and a place. Only just because the Georgia election, runoff election is coming up, Nick, on June 5th, I believe.
January.
What? January, thank you. January 5th. And so it's just super important for anybody that might be in Georgia and can vote, just really consider voting blue on both candidates, because...
Yeah, two Senate seats are up for grabs.
It means everything.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything.
And I just want to say, too, John Ossoff debated an empty podium, yes, because that motherfucker, whatever his name is escaping my mind.
Purdue.
David Purdue.
Because isn't he the drug manufacturer dude, or maybe he's related to one of them?
Oh, maybe.
Who got everybody addicted knowingly that they would, things like oxycodone would be lethal and highly addictive. And he's like, well, if you're a drug addict, that's your problem.
Oh.
There's a whole thing on it. Again, I don't know if he's related or a part of that, but the last name checks out, so I'll have to do some research.
Yeah, I just love the fact that he didn't even show up for the debate. So John Ossoff actually got to ask his questions to the empty podium and then answer the questions himself. So
such a good idea.
Yeah, so good. Anyway.
So, yeah.
If you live in Georgia, please make sure you vote in that runoff election.
It's so very important.
And it's really close.
Because it was so close, you get to have the runoff, which means there's a chance you could actually do it. And if those two seats are Democratic, that would actually be a straight line down the middle of Democratic and Republican senators, which would mean that Vice President-elect Harris would then get to be the tiebreaker. So please, 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 please.
That's how we can make the world a better place and be excellent to each other.
Perfect.
I heard the other one, too. Amy Loeffler was also getting her ass handed to her.
But she wouldn't answer a question directly. Like, well, how do you feel? Or do you feel like Trump has lost this election? What you do? Oh, no, it was she sold off stock. She had insider trading.
Oh, yes.
And made a lot of money, or saved a lot of money, because she sold all of her stocks before it was announced and it crashed.
Yeah,
and
a bunch of them did.
Yeah, a bunch of them did. But and Democratic, too. Like, and they should all be held accountable for that. I don't care what side of the whatever you're on.
Agreed.
Right. But so she, when they asked her, do you think that senators should be allowed to hold stocks? She just said, when you try, you know, this was a smear campaign by the Democratic, blah, blah, blah. You're trying to take away my rights. Like, she circled around it, didn't answer the question, and just diverted and went on to something else.
She did that on a bunch of questions, too. So.
And she's also worth $1 billion. Do you really want to be represented by somebody who actually can't possibly understand your predicament because she's never been poor?
Yeah. Seriously.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing we can do, I feel like I want to end this episode with another, like, be excellent to each other. How can we make the world a better place? Not focus on the negative as much, even though it's so easy and gratifying to do sometimes. I want to make sure we do our best to support small businesses.
Yes. Yes, that's very important.
Yeah. It's super important. People don't realize, and I've personally lost sight of it too, because I remember, you know, working at the co-op, it was really, you really had a good understanding of, like, you know, corporations versus, like, mom and pop businesses.
Right. You vote with your dollars.
You vote with your dollars. I wouldn't even, and I still won't, you know, spend a single dollar at Walmart ever, because fuck them. But it's like, you know, I spend a lot of money on Amazon.
Right.
And that's that's the one of the worst.
Right. I would arguably say they're worse than the Waltons.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think there was a whole meme, and again, I don't know if the science on this is exactly correct, but I saw it on Facebook, so it's clearly true. but the fact that people can't comprehend the difference between a million and a billion, because they sound so similar. They sound like, oh, well, yeah, naturally, once you're a millionaire, you'd be a billionaire. If you break it down to seconds, a million seconds is a week and a half. A billion seconds is 38 years.
Yeah.
So there should never be a billionaire. Like that's not just an elitist thing. Like, they literally should never be a billionaire. No one needs that much money. I don't care if you're the biggest Mormon family with all of the children and all the lands, and you support every single cousin you have, you still don't need $1 billion ever.
Yeah.
Especially a multi, like, I don't even know.
Yeah. So every time you drop a dollar on Amazon just because it's cheap and it's convenient and they'll bring it to your house. Like, it's really, I feel like I've, you know, well, I 100% sold out since I was, you know, from my youth. I've like gone to not only, you know, work for corporate America because they pay more.
Right.
But, you know, I now spend my money at corporate America because it's convenient. And
like, I mean, I'm a small business and I've been forced to shut down for the next 3 weeks. And literally the only thing that will be getting me through, because there is no government assistance right now, that the whole COVID relief is tied up in legislation or whatever it is that they're still arguing about it. Right. Meanwhile, I get $190 a week, which covers groceries and maybe an electric bill, barely. It's all based on me being able to sell my retail. I'm a hairstylist, right? So I can sell shampoo, conditioner, styling aids. That is the only thing that is getting me through and paying my bills. Luckily, you know, you live with me, and you know my bills aren't terribly high. But I'm just saying, like, you could go to Target and buy some shitty shampoo, or you could go buy what I sell. Well, actually, you can't buy what I sell. But let's say you get a high-end shampoo cheaper on Amazon. You're really just screwing the person that is sitting there formulating your hair, really trying to give you the best products, and by you saving $3, you're screwing your hairstylist over. You're screwing that small business over. And like, yes.
Well, you're giving money to Jeff Bezos, who
doesn't need any more money.
He's gained so much wealth since the pandemic started. I think it was like, for every single person who works for Amazon, which is a lot of people,
right?
He could have quadrupled all of their salaries and still made $1 billion.
Right.
Which is so bananas. Up. You know what I mean? But he didn't. Not only did he not raise anybody's salaries,
He
took away their benefits, and he took away, you know, hours, and he took away positions, and it's just fucked up. And he, you know, and that's, it's all driven by data, and it's all about the bottom line. So to me, it's like, every time I want to be like, it's so easy, I can just order it on Amazon, I'm going to really do my best to think twice and, you know.
I think I'm going to do the same. I buy too much shit on Amazon, and mm-hmm. I only need half of it, so. Mm-hmm.
Going to put the effort in, you know, go out, support small businesses, and remember that every time you spend a dollar, you're really voting on what you think is important. And is that people, or is that, you know, the corporate machine?
Also, I guess it's kind of a good plug. I was like, I'll shop small. I'm no longer employed, so I'm going to be making the shit out of some, like, crafty things. And we'll sell them on our website. I've already made some necklaces. We have some mugs. I'm going to make, like, face masks and other things. So you guys have any ideas on things that you're like, you know what I'd like to own? I don't know. Fill in the blank. Maybe I can craft it, because mm-hmm. I'm going to be real bored.
Mm-hmm. We're going to learn how to use the Cricut machine, or Cricut?
Cricut machine. I now started watching YouTube videos on how to use it, and they're all saying Cricut.
Okay.
So.
Cricut machine. You want masks? You want a slogan? You want a t-shirt?
What do you want your mask to say? Because I have a pretty funny one. I think it'd be really funny if it said, shh, no one cares.
I'd wear that.
Right? I'd wear that mask. I think it's pretty damn funny.
Check out our website. See what we got going on. And then if you have any ideas of stuff that you want to see, make sure to send us a message. You can get, you can reach out on any of our social media channels. We've got a website you can reach out. We've got our Gmail, fhebadmormons@gmail.com. We would love to hear what you guys want us to make for you.
Right.
We're here to serve you.
Right.
And get paid.
I'd like to be able to make some money. I understand if you don't have any, but neither do I. All right, with that.
So thanks for listening to our podcast.
I love you.
If you have a chance to leave us a review, it really would go a long way towards helping other people find our show. Go on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating, and leave us a review.
We're on YouTube now, too.
We are on YouTube. We haven't got any bad reviews yet, so if you hate our show and you want to leave us a bad review, I'll think about posting that as well. It might be kind of fun to mix it up. Just kidding. You're not doing it right if you don't have any haters.
That's true.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and we're sorry about the last thing that we posted. If you guys heard that, you're lucky, because no one's ever going to hear it again. Bye! Bye.